Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to David Benjamin Citroen's Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. This again is your opportunity to make a massive change in your life within a short space of time. Thank you first of all for all the great feedback from the last session. Really, really generous and kind of you all. Thank you so much. In particular, people enjoyed the When Life Works list, and they enjoyed the 30-minute challenge. People got a lot from those practical applications of transforming their lives and have started putting them into practice. It's so satisfying to hear that people are putting the material straight into action, and I'd like to ask you to do the same thing with this material today. If you interact with it, if you write it down, if you start putting it into action, it'll start working for you. It's tried and tested. The When Life Works list is exciting. It's incredible. You're just basically putting down such a simple set of things. But these things, which are, as we said, the things that cause you to have a good day, these things are things which people often find, you know, easy to forget. And people have been putting these into action for themselves and making massive change for themselves. So well done, and thank you very much for putting it into action. When Life Works, this actually comes from a guy called Sean Stevenson, an amazing guy with an incredible story. And he is only 3 foot high, and he's made a massive change all around the world. He's got an incredible story. We might get to some of that story a little bit later. But that is powerful, powerful material that comes from that guy, and we're going to get to him perhaps a little later. What we're going to cover today is decision. Decision, how to use decision, the power of decision, and how decision can help you change your life, how decision can help you be happier, more productive, and get better results in your life. And we've even got something for you, something really powerful, a technique which would require just 1 minute of your time every day for the next 21 days, which has been proven to cause people to be 25% happier. And as we know, happiness is related to productivity and results. And, you know, happiness just in itself is just great. So stick around for that, and we've got that a little bit later. Just one more thing with the feedback. Anything that you want covered in the show, please send it through to david@davidbenjamincitroen.com, and I'd be very glad to try and integrate it into the show and see if we can help you. Okay, so we're going to start today with a story from Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn was one of the most amazing business philosophers. He passed away in 2009, an incredible man who made massive change for so many people around the world, millions actually. He spoke to over 5 million people around the world. And some of the amazing things about Jim Rohn were his presence, his eloquence, his ability to say very simple statements that had a huge effect on people. One of the things he used to say was, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. If you work hard on your job, you can earn a salary. If you work hard on yourself, you can earn a fortune. Work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Work hard on your job and you can earn a salary. Work hard on yourself and you can earn a fortune. And Jim wasn't just talking about money there. He was talking about physical, mental, social, emotional, and spiritual fortune. And he used to work really hard on himself. He didn't just sort of, you know, succeed and do well and then, you know, rest on his laurels, put his feet up. He kept working on himself, kept developing himself, kept trying to find new mentors and interviewing people who he thought had done well, who'd raised themselves up in their situation. And one of the people that he interviewed was a woman who was a vice president of a corporation. Now, just to put this in context, she was vice president of a massive corporation in the 1970s, at a time when it was incredibly rare to find women in the higher levels of the bureaucracy of corporations. And she had this fantastic job and wielded a huge amount of power. And he was very interested in her story. So he asked her, "How did you get here?" And she said, "It's been an interesting ride. 5 years ago, I had none of this." She said, 5 years ago, I was a stay-at-home mom. I was, happy with my kids and helping them. And I suddenly had a revelation. One day, I needed $10. So I asked my husband for the $10. And he said, "What for?" And at that moment, she made a decision. She said, "I made the decision that I would never have to ask for $10 again." And so she got herself on night courses. She worked her way up in from the very bottom of this massive corporation all the way to vice president. And Jim Rohn found this an incredible story, as do I, and I hope you do too. She looked at her situation, and she made that decision to move on. Now, this isn't, you know, as simple as it may seem. Some people may have looked at that situation and said, "Hold on a second. I'm in this situation where I have to ask my husband for $10. And then resent the husband, and then resent the situation, and then build themselves into a hole where they're so upset with their situation and they're breathing toxic air into the relationship but not doing anything about it. So actually, their situation gets worse and worse and worse. What I'm trying to tell you is that some people get confronted with things that happen to them and go down. And other people get confronted with life events and go up. She made a decision to be in that top 10%. Remember from the last time, the last program, we talked about that 350,000 people survey over 22 years, where the top 10% in terms of successful and happy and these top 10% were thinking about one thing. What were they thinking about? What do I want and how do I get there? And she was definitely in that top 10%. She took responsibility for what it is that she wanted and her situation. She didn't start dishing out blame. In fact, blame is part of that bottom 10%. That bottom 10%, as you probably recall, said, well, most of the time they were thinking again and again the concept. What were they thinking? Most of the time they were thinking, oh, what's happened here in my life? What's bad in my life? And who's to blame? And if that's where your focus is, that is what is going to cause your decisions to go wrong again and again and again. So you got to shift yourself up to where this woman was and shift yourself up to the thinking, the level of thinking, the level of taking ownership over your life. You have to take ownership over the situations that are happening in your life and say, I am responsible. My final freedom is how I think. My final freedom is my attitude. My final freedom is which direction am I going to go with this? How can I use this situation and grow? How can I use this situation and move on up and develop and create more for myself and more for the people around me? And that's what she did. She used the situation. She developed the situation into such that it entirely transformed her life. So we've got to think that way, and I'm sure she had the why. The why became the situation. Yeah, the situation that could have brought her down was the why. And this is used time and time again by people who have succeeded. You know, Theopophytus, that famous Dragon's Den guy, he said basically that there was one moment that made a massive change in his life. Someone said he would never make it. So what did he do? Well, some people get down and depressed with that. He took that statement and he put it on the wall. And he just made sure that he proved that statement wrong. I never want to be in that situation. I'm going to move on. He used the situation. But that is decision. We decide how we are going to react. Are we going to get pulled down, or are we going to use our situations as a trampoline to catapult us up? You know, there's a philosopher called Khalil Gibran. He said an incredible thing. He said, the deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. The deeper that trampoline goes, the higher up you can propel yourself. But you've got to use that right metaphor. It's up to you. No one else is going to do this for you. You have to use that right metaphor and propel yourself up. Take the situation and take control of it. It's another story about two girls, and the same thing happened to these two girls. They're both poverty-stricken. They both went to school in rags and were laughed at. They were both sexually abused, and at 13, they had unwanted pregnancies. The unwanted pregnancies, the babies died. Both of these girls underwent incredible trauma, incredibly traumatic situations. One of these girls became a drug addict. She got into a downward spiral where she used drugs to numb the pain, to get rid of the pain of the trauma that she'd gone through. And she died a drug addict as well. The other girl became someone who started using her pain to connect with people, started using her pain to help others, to relate to others, who saw her situation as a medium to understand and empathize and connect with, first of all, tens, then hundreds, then thousands of people. Then tens of thousands, then hundreds of thousands, then millions, then tens of millions, then hundreds of millions. Oprah Winfrey, she's that other girl. And she used her situation in an entirely different way. She could have been pulled down, but she saw her situation as a why. A why. And also that why became the how. This is how I can connect. I've been incredibly vulnerable. I'm going to allow myself to be vulnerable in the future. This situation is not a reason for me to shy away from the world. This situation is something which I can use to be vulnerable and connect with people. And it's only through vulnerability that we connect. We can only connect with people through vulnerability. You put out your hand, you're making a vulnerable decision. You might just be left hanging there. You smile at someone, you might not get a smile back. You're making yourself vulnerable every time you try and connect with people. And she realized that she had been incredibly vulnerable in her life, and that had made her strong. That she had a greater vulnerability tolerance than the average person. A greater vulnerability tolerance that she was able to then connect with more people. The more she allowed herself to see her situation as a bridge to be more vulnerable, to allow herself to say, hold on a second, I have actually had a situation that most people don't have, thank goodness. But this is allowed that, remember what Khalil Gibran said, the deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain and the more joy you can give. So she allowed that situation to flow through her in a positive way, and it took work. I'm sure it wasn't easy, but she had a why. She made it her why, and she moved forward. And that's powerful. That's the power of decision. The power of decision is where you put your focus. What are you going to focus on? How are you going to see your situation? Is it just luck, or is it the roll of the dice, or is it something that has been given to you as a gift? Is it something which is something for you to use? It's material. It's something which you can help. It's a tool to help this world. It's a tool to help others around you. It's something which you can move forward with. It's down to you on how you're going to see your situations as they arise. But the more you make the decision on where you put your focus, the more you are going to affect the world as opposed to the world affecting you. Where focus goes, energy flows. You put your focus on something and you get more of that thing in your life. You know, I often have this thing which I do with clients, which is this, you know, it's a funny little thing. They you know, sometimes I get a particularly negative client, someone who's down in the dumps, and they're caught in a web of perhaps their own design, perhaps it's something which is built up over a while, but they're caught. I can see, as an outsider, I can see they're caught on just one little, not little for them, but one thing in their life, yeah? One thing in their life that they're just focused entirely on, and that thing becomes everything. So I show them a sheet of paper, and I put a dot at the center of it, and I say, what do you see? And most of the time, people say, oh, I see a dot. And I say, well, actually, 99.9% of what you see here is white, is a white sheet of paper. Of course, it's a little trick, and I have a laugh, but the point is there. 99.9% of what you've got when you focus on it, what you can appreciate in your life, what you can see, that's a decision. That's a day-to-day decision. What are you going to look at? How are you going to see it? How are you going to frame it? You have to. You have to. We haven't got enough time to not frame things in a positive, constructive way. I'm not talking about being airy-fairy and sort of saying, well, you know, there are no weeds in the garden, there are no weeds in the garden. I'm talking about framing things in a useful way, framing things in a way which are going to be constructive for you, because we just don't have time. There isn't enough time in our lives to be overtaken by this and that. And, you know, it's like there's a storm going on. You don't have any control over the winds, but if you focus on what you don't have influence over, then that's just going to be taking over your life. We don't have control over the winds, but we do have control over the set of the sail. The set of the sail is your personal philosophy, and your personal philosophy has to be something to do with framing things in a constructive way, deciding each and every time, each and every moment, something happens to you. How am I going to use this? What good can I make of this? How can I make this constructive? How can I use this? Because the moment you don't, the world will start happening to you. You know, we are actually wired to see things in a negative light in many ways. It's a survival technique. You're walking along in the jungle and, you know, the snake coil pops down. You've got to be aware of what's wrong. You've got to notice. But we're not living in the jungle anymore. Well, at least most of us aren't. We're not living in the jungle anymore. And what I've found is that actually that negative, looking for what's wrong in a situation, has gone into overdrive in a lot of people. It's gone into overdrive, and I've been asked why I think that it's gone into overdrive, and part of the reason is I think there's so much comparison in this world now. The more it's become globalized, the more we're looking at everyone else, seeing what everyone else is doing, and that's causing people to look at themselves in a more critical way and always compare. And, you know, I find this when I'm training people in interview technique and public speaking. I ask them after they've done their first interview, well, you know, I do a mock interview with them, and with public speaking, I get them to get up and do their first speech, and I get them to assess themselves. You know, where are you at? What do you think? How do you think you did? And I say to them specifically, tell me, I always say it in the same order. I always say, tell me one good thing that you did and one thing which could be improved. And 9 times out of 10, I get the same answer. And it always starts with, well, the one bad thing that I did was. 9 times out of 10, what's going on? Why is it that out of the hundreds and hundreds of people that I've worked with on those skills, 9 times out of 10, they're gravitating towards the what's wrong? What's wrong with what I did? Even though the question is always framed, what's one good thing? And then what's one thing that could be improved? They're not even saying the one thing that could be improved in the way that I said it. They're saying, well, one bad thing. Yeah. So we are naturally wired, it seems, in order to correct things. You know, we only notice, you know, the complexity of our computer when it breaks down, all these sorts of things. And it's up to us to rewire ourselves. And that's where we come to this technique, which has been shown to make a massive difference in terms of your happiness. This is a direct application of decision. It's the decision to be more happy, the decision to make more happiness in your life, the decision to put your focus on something good. And it works like this. Scientists have shown that people using this technique, it only takes 1 minute a day for 21 days. And if you like it, there's going to be compound interest on that 25% increase in happiness that they've shown. 1 minute a day is not very long. Basically, all you need to do is in that 1 minute investment, look back on your day and ask yourself, what 3 things did I do which I'm happy with? What are 3 things I'm proud of that I achieved, that I'm happy with? And they don't have to be huge things. They don't have to be incredible things. They just have to be things which are, they could be just small things. It's something like, maybe something that you do even every day. You turned up on time for class. You turned up on time for work. Whatever it was, you said something nice to someone. You took a step forward with your business. Whatever it is, 3 things. And this approach, a very simple approach, you know, I'm flabbergasted at the simplicity of it. This approach causes people, and I see it with my clients time and time again, causes people a massive increase in happiness in a short space of time, and use it day in, day out in your life to rewire yourself. And don't be afraid, well, hold on a second, you know, maybe I'm going to get into this oblivion of happiness and I'm not going to notice the problems, and then the problems are going to mount up. That's not how happiness works. Actually, what's been shown is that happiness gives you the edge in productivity. People who are happy, people who are optimistic, actually, in most jobs, they do better. It's been shown that people are more effective in most jobs by being optimistic. There was a survey of 5,000 people in the States just recently, and one of the major factors in terms of success was that people were optimistic, that people were happy, that those people had a happy, optimistic attitude about what it is that they were doing. Those people who were at the top of that 5,000, yeah, the people who were successful as measured in various different ways. Happiness made a massive difference. So start putting this into practice for yourself. Choose a time. This is one of these practical application moments of Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. This is one of those moments where you've got to say, I am going to choose a time now. Think of a time right now which you will do this at. Take out your phone and set a daily reminder in the phone for that time. It's crucial. It's important. If I said to you, there's a drug with no side effects, no cost, and it's readily available, and you can take it, and you'll be 25% happier if you take it for 1 minute every day. Tastes fine, feels good when you're tasting it. You do it, right? Because 25% happier for that investment, that's nothing. Put it into your phone. Set a daily reminder for yourself. It's not just a nice idea that you're listening to now. Make a change in your life right now. Do it now. Put it into your schedule. People are 80 to 100% more likely to do things when they set a time. And if there's a bell ringing on a phone, they're even more likely to do it. And put that reminder for looking back on the day, and you can call it the happiness technique, whatever you want to call it, 25%, looking back on the day and asking yourself, what three things did I do which I am happy with, which I appreciate myself for? And this is crucial. Why is it so crucial? Because two weeks ago, we talked about this idea of moving forward and aiming for your big goals. Well, those big goals are fantastic, but it's very easy to get overwhelmed by them along the way. You have to appreciate yourself along the way. You have to praise yourself along the way in order to have the momentum, in order to have the endurance, the durability to get all the way there. And to more importantly than that, enjoy the ride. Yeah, enjoy the ride. It's not just about that success moment at the end. In fact, if it's all for that, it's probably not worth it, Martina Navratilova said. You've got to be involved in enjoying the journey, the process towards it. And if you're just getting yourself down by looking at, well, gosh, I've got this big goal, you know, Citroen told me to put down that big goal for myself and I still haven't achieved it today. Well, that's just going to get you down. You have to look at the little steps along the way and say, hey, I did this. And every time you do that, you're encouraging yourself to do more. Anyone who's been a boss of a company knows that as soon as you start giving a little bit of praise out, you get massive results. People need praise, and that includes you, and you are the boss of you, and you need to take care of you as an employee, yeah, as the employee of your industry, of your life, of moving forward. So start taking care of yourself. Start creating a level of endurance that is going to take you all the way. It's crucial. Let's just take a look at one last idea. I was listening to an interview with Pete Cashmore. He's a guy who, amazing guy, he started at age 19, Scottish guy, basically worked his way up just by doing a blog in his parents' house, worked his way up to a $200 million company. Incredible story. He owns a company called Mashable. You'll see it on the net, Mashable. Incredible site. And he found as he went higher along the levels, just in terms of financial success, he actually was getting more and more upset because his definition of success was problematic. His definition of success was very much about comparing himself, and that was causing him problems. So what he did was he redefined success to something which I would advise you to do. He redefined success as, am I better than I was yesterday? And that's what that 25% approach is going to help you with, looking back on those three things. Just shifting your focus, deciding to look at those three things is going to cause you to have that endurance level and be able to keep moving forward. Just to review what we've done today, we've talked about decision. We've talked about how it can help you be happy, more productive, get the results that you want in your life. I've asked you, please, to not only just give me the feedback, thank you so much for the feedback, but also anything that you want to cover in the show, anything that's bugging you, something that you want to, you feel there's some obstacle you're trying to get through, be in contact, david@davidbenjamincitron.com. Let me know before the next show. I'll try and integrate it for you. We talked about the $10 woman, the woman who took herself from a $10 request of her husband all the way up to vice president of a corporation. We talked about Oprah Winfrey and how she took the pain in her life, the deep sorrow that carves into your being. The more joy you can contain, she took that carving sorrow and moved it. She decided where she was going to go. She moved herself upwards. We talked about the dot on the paper, and we talked about how we're wired to go the negative way, unfortunately, and we are fighting a day-to-day battle for that endurance level to be happy. We need to focus, to shift our focus, and where you put your focus is entirely down to you. As I said in the last session, you are the Spielberg of your mind. Where focus goes, energy flows. Shift your focus onto those things that are going to propel you forward, not the things that are going to drag you down. That's going to give you the happiness edge. I'm looking forward to giving you another session of Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes in 14 nights from now, that fortnightly Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. Looking forward. Take care.